Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
I've got to sow myself to God in a way that I'm not attached to anything else. There's not even a close second place. And I've got to know Him more passionately, more intimately than anything else in my life. There cannot be a number two on a list that bumps right up underneath God. No, it's got to be something altogether different.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome back, Truth Seekers, to another round of Truth Infusion. I am your humble host. My name is David Markham, and this is Truth Infusion Ministries and the Truth Infusion Bible Study Program, which is the primary aspect of our broadcasting ministry. We've got some other things going on, too, within the broadcasting aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. And if you want to know more about that, go to truthinfusion.com. Please, would you do that? Check out what's going on with the ministry. The event schedule is there. We may be coming to a church near you. And if you want us to, if you want the Truth Infusion Worship Band or one of our preachers or something like that to happen with your church, we are a ministry to the church and for the church. We'd love to be a part of what you got going on and benefit you guys as the Holy Spirit helps us. We're going to conclude today something that I have really been enjoying, this series on Psalm 91. This is the fifth and final today. We're going to summarize what God has taught and then conclude with a final question. And we're going to answer that question a little bit today. The final question would be this: how do I take a permanent seat in Jesus? How do I take a permanent seat in Jesus? Now, if this is your first time to get here with us on this program, if you're coming in right here on part five, then you may wonder, what in the world is that even talking about? And if you have missed the opportunity to be with us in this teaching, I want you to go to truthinfusion.com to the broadcast page, and all four of the beginning episodes shows will be there. Listen to all of them. Get your friends to listen to them. The overriding concept of this teaching is understanding how we might unlock, if you will, access to the promises of God that are available in His Word. Now, I want you to know that all the promises God has ever given us are there and they are available for us, but don't you know that you start going through certain times and phases of your life and you start looking around at what God says you should be and can be doing and how you can be living, and you look at what's really going on in real time in your life and you wonder, how have I missed the boat here? Psalm 91 is full of fantastic promises that if they were true in our life on a day-to-day basis, we would live victoriously, no doubt about it. You need to go read Psalm 91, a quick 16 verses with at least 25 promises that you and I need active in our lives every day. Living in Psalm 91 is the title of this teaching series. And I want you to know that the concept here is that to access the available promises, the great majority of the time, we have to meet the condition that God lays out. There is a condition, there is a, what's the word that I'm looking for? A requirement to have the promise not just be words on a page, but actively like fireworks going off in your life. And the condition for Psalm 91 is easy to find. It's not hard to find. It's not cloaked. It's not a mystery. God wants you to have this, child of God. The first verse says this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There it is. That's what you got to do. That's the condition. You got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 9 says this: Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, you get all the stuff. Okay? So what we've had to do over the last few shows is understand and explain what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The first question we answered in show number 2 is, what is the secret place? And I'll let you know that it is the Holy of Holies. The primary thing that means is it is the place where the presence of God is. In the Old Testament tabernacle, that's where the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, dwelt and abided. The people knew where God's presence was. In today's post-Calvary Christian walk, you can know where God is. He's still in the Holy of Holies. Where is the Holy of Holies? Somewhere over in Israel? No. You are His tabernacle today. You are His Holy of Holies. He is dwelling in you, and the presence of God is consistent. So He is in you. Now, the next question was this. What does it mean to dwell? We talked about that in show 3. To dwell was an amazing teaching. It's more than just staying somewhere or being somewhere or living somewhere. That word in the Hebrew in Psalm 91, to dwell in the secret place, it is the concept of having a seat, sitting down. Sit down and rest. Sit down and relax. Take a load off. Quit working. Quit striving. Quit worrying. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit thinking that it's all on you. Here's what God wants you to do. Have a seat. Sit down. Go into the Holy of Holies. In other words, go into His presence and sit down. Recorded a CD several years ago. It's the Jordan Project. You can go to the website again and look for the music page, the worship page. You can find the Jordan Project. One of the songs on that is a song by Jason Upton that we recovered. It's called In Your Presence. And the chorus is, in your presence, all fear is gone. In your presence, yes. And in your presence is where I belong. In your presence. And God wants us to come into His presence and take a load off. Sit down. The third question that we approached was one that we dealt with last week in the fourth show. And it was this question. Well, where is my chair? Because in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, there was one object made by man, one piece of furniture, if you will, within that small room. And it wasn't a chair. It was the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And I believe the way I said it last week was this. Where's my chair, God? There's no chair to sit down in. And God told me, yes, David, you're right. There is no chair in the Ark of the Holy of Holies, but there is a seat. There is a seat. Because the Ark of the Covenant had a very special lid designed and created, directed specifically by God. It was called the mercy seat. And I explained what it looked like according to the Word. It was a rectangular slab of gold, pure gold, 3.8 feet long, 2.2 feet wide, about an inch or so, maybe a little more than an inch thick, of solid gold, would have been worth over $2 million today. Very valuable, the most valuable single object in all of the tabernacle proper. On top of the mercy seat were two cherubim, two angels, hand-made golden angels, whose wings stretched out over the mercy seat, which gave me the clue as to why I believe that the mercy seat is what he's referring to when he says to dwell, to take a seat. Because verse 4 in Psalm 91 says, He will cover you. If you're sitting down, if you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you will take refuge. Sounds to me like the cherubim stretching their wings out over the mercy seat. This is where God wants us to sit down. Why? Why, God, do you want me to go into the Holy of Holies in your presence and sit down on the mercy seat? Well, you've got to understand what the mercy seat represents. In the Old Testament, it was the place where God met with man at the mercy seat. And I explained this in detail last week. Not as much detail this week, but I want to get us to this last question we're going to talk about. Why did God meet with man at the mercy seat, specifically at the mercy seat in the Old Testament? in the Holy of Holies at the tabernacle. Why the mercy seat? Because it was the place of the blood. It's the place where the high priest would come in one time of year and splash the blood on the Day of Atonement on the mercy seat. And when God saw the blood, he would push aside his wrath and the judgment against the sins of the Israelites at that time. For another year, he would roll the punishment back. Every year he rolled the punishment back until Jesus came. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Bible says, slain before the foundations of the earth, the perfect sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice. When he hung on the cross and he bled and he died for us, the Bible said that he was, here's a big word, the propitiation for our sin. We taught about this last week. Propitiation is a big word, a Bible word, a theological word, and it simply means that Jesus was the act that satisfied the wrath of God against our sin. And we read about the propitiation, which is the concept of the mercy seat in the Old Testament, tied into the New Testament with Jesus Christ, when Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says this, being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. There it is. Jesus is the propitiation that turns away and satisfies the wrath of God against our sin. Otherwise, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, all deserve death and hell. We had no other option. We had no way to fix it ourselves. We had no way to satisfy God's wrath on our own. We had to have a Savior. We had to have a Redeemer. Thus cometh Christ, the propitiation. And I told you last week, this word hilasterion, the word propitiation in Romans 3, verse 25, the word Greek word is hilasterion. It is the word that means mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat. And when you got saved, you were placed in Christ. Showed you that in Romans chapter 6. You were placed in Christ because you got saved. I got saved when I was 6 years old. And everything that is Christ Jesus became mine when I was six. But not just from the time I was six and forward through my life up until now. Not just from my salvation experience forward did everything Jesus is become mine. But everything Jesus is became mine from the moment I got saved and backwards through time also. Now, what does that even mean? Here's what I'm talking about. When Jesus died on the cross, God placed me in his death. At the moment of my salvation, God reached back into time and placed me in the death of Christ. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, don't you know that those of you that are in Christ were in his death? Goes on to say in verse 4, that don't you know that because you were in his death, you were also in his burial? So I was placed in Christ in his death. I was placed in Christ in his burial. And then it says, just as God the Father raised Christ Jesus from the dead, so also you and I. And then we find in Ephesians verse 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says this is amazing, that he raised us up together. You were raised together with Christ. When Jesus walked out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, that morning when he walked out very much alive in resurrection power, God did not just see his only begotten Son walk out of the tomb that day very much alive in resurrected power. He also saw me, his created Son, his adopted Son, in the begotten Son of Jesus Christ. He watched me walk out of the tomb, hallelujah, praise God, very much alive with Christ, in Christ. Ephesians 2, 6 says he raised us up together and he made us, here it is, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus resurrected. 40 days later, he ascended and then he sat down at the right hand of God in the Holy of Holies in heaven. How beautiful is this imagery? Jesus sat down at the right hand of his Father. And when Jesus sat down, because I am in him, because you are in him, you sat down in Christ. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells, who sits down in the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. On the mercy seat. Jesus Christ is the mercy seat. Here's Psalm 91, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. There's that word dwelling again. Because you have sat down in a permanent way. And when you are seated in the presence of God in Christ, all of the promises and the blessings and the benefits of the presence of God become available and accessible all day long. Thank you, God. But I made a point a few weeks ago that the problem that we have is not getting saved. We've got that part figured out. It's not that we want to be in the presence of God. Sure, we want to be in the presence of God. The problem is this: we won't stay seated. We tend to get up and run back out of the Holy of Holies, through the holy place, back into the outer court where I told you a few weeks ago, we get busy doing all the work we can think of to get ourselves right, to make ourselves look good, to perform for the Lord. God don't need our performance. He's not looking for us to go to work out there in the outer court. He wants us to come and sit down, and don't just sit down and hang out for a minute, then go back out and do your thing again. No, come on. Sit down and stay, honey. Stay for a while. In fact, stay permanently. Sit down in Christ and rest here and don't get up. Stay right here. Which brings me to the last question we want to address in this teaching series. How do I take a permanent seat in Jesus? How do I sit down and stay seated in Christ, my mercy seat, in the presence of God, so that all these promises remain accessible all day long, specifically on the days I need them the most? Well, I want to show you a verse in Psalm 91, and I want to give you a couple of pointers, a few things that will help us understand what this takes to sit down and stay seated permanently. I want to read for you verse 14, point out a couple of parts of verse 14, and talk about those things as we conclude this series today. Verse 14 says this: because he has, this is God speaking, by the way, let me back up and say that. This is really cool. All of Psalms 91, verses 1 through 13, the psalmist is the middleman. What does that mean, David? That means God's telling the psalmist what to write, and he's writing down the things about God that we need to know. He is the author and the writer right here. But when it comes to verse 14, 15, and 16, there is a change in the author. No longer is the psalmist saying, here's what God is, here's what he will do for you. In verse 14, there are quotation marks, but that begins in verse 14 and ends at the end of verse 16, because this is God himself speaking directly to you. It's God himself saying this. In quotes, verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. How do I take a permanent seat in Jesus? I want to show you two things about verse 14. Number one, God says, because he has set his love upon me. He has set his love upon me. And number two, because he has known my name. I think understanding what these two things mean will help us to see what it takes to take a permanent seat in Jesus, to sit down in the presence of God and stay there. Number one, he has set his love on me. Let me explain this. I love my wife. She's the number one most important human being in this world to me, and I love her very, very much, no doubt about it. Her name is Jennifer. She is a secondary to Jesus Christ, the greatest gift I've ever received. I'm not saying that to get brownie points. It is the truth about, I would not be who I am were it not for God, through Jennifer, blessing my life. I love her. And when I say I love her, here's how I say it. Girl, I love you. I love you. You know what else I say that way? I love Blue Bell ice cream. I love Blue Bell. Tin Roof is the best flavor of Blue Bell. You may never have had that. You need to go get some. It'll make you feel happy. But we say love about Bluebell and love about Reese's Cups the same way we say love about our wife. And if you look at this where it says he set his love upon me, you may think that it's something about focusing your affection on God from across the room and saying, I love you, Lord. But that's not what he's talking about. This word set in the Hebrews is very graphic, really. Because here's what it means. It means to sew yourself to him. Needle, thread, his skin, your skin. Sew yourself to God. It means to knit yourself to him. It means to connect yourself, to combine yourself, to attach yourself to God in such a way, you pardon my English, that you can't get a loose. That you can't get loose from him. You follow me here? Set your love upon me means to sow your love to me in such a way that you cannot become unattached. It's the Old Testament, it's the Genesis concept of a man shall leave his mother and father, shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's what it's talking about. Two separate individual entities becoming one entity, a new being, one flesh. It's like if I were to take a pitcher of water and pour in a pitcher of orange juice and then say to you, all right, truth seeker, separate the orange juice back out of the water. Well, you can't. It's impossible. They're combined. The two are now one. And this is what God's saying. If you will combine yourself to me in that way, if you will sow yourself to me in that way, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Okay, here's the second part. It says at the end of verse 14, I will set him on high because he has known my name. What is that talking about? My pastor's going through a series at church right now teaching the names of God. It's beautiful, fantastic teaching. Every week, he takes another name, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, God Almighty, Elohim, El Shaddai, a different one every week, and he just expounds on that meaning of that name and what that has to do with my life, the character of God through that name, and how that affects me. And every time I go and listen to one of these sermons, I fall in love with God in a new way. It's fantastic to know and have a knowledge about all these names and what that really means to me. It's good to know the names of God. That is not what he's talking about in Psalm 91, verse 14. He is not talking about knowing with your head and having a head knowledge about what God's names are. That's not it. Because this word know means something else altogether. It is the Hebrew word that you find in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Same word. And here's what Genesis 4, verse 1 says. It says that Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. Okay, now that is a completely different animal, right? Adam knew Eve, and she got pregnant, and they had Cain. Same word. Same word. It is denoting the most passionate and intimate relationship possible. It is saying that because he is passionately and intimately in a way unlike any other relationship that you have, knows my name. And the concept of the name in the Old Testament is his person, his being, his character, all that it is, all that God is. You are passionately, intimately involved in his person. You know what? A lot of people do their best to put God at the top of the list of the things they love in their life. They have the list of the things they love, and at the top is God. Can I tell you something? That's not good enough. You can't put God at the top of the other things that you love and think that's good enough. There are the things on this earth that I love on this list, and at the top of that list for me is my wife, Jennifer Markham, but on a completely different page altogether in a way unlike I approach anything else in my life is God Almighty. And if I want to receive access and availability to all the promises that he has in Psalms 91, then here's what I've got to do. I've got to sow myself to God in a way that I'm not attached to anything else. There's not even a close second place. And I've got to know him more passionately, more intimately than anything else in my life. There cannot be a number two on a list that bumps right up underneath God. No, it's got to be something all together, different, separate, and unique. He deserves a set apart, holy, passionate attachment from you and I. You see, we've got to examine our relationship with God. How do I access all the promises of the secret place? How do I sit down on the mercy seat that is Jesus and stay there permanently? It's when your relationship with God through Jesus Christ becomes, bar none, the most important relationship in your life. Then and only then will all the promises and benefits of the Most High become yours every day, all day. The promises will be yours and mine. There it is. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now listen to verse 2 as we close this series. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, and in Him I will trust. There's nobody like Him. And He deserves a love and a relationship like nobody else gets. When He has that from you and from me, then the promises are easy to grab a hold of. Amen? Hope you've enjoyed this teaching series, Living in Psalm 91. Now you get out there in the world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.